Welcome to the iCoder podcast with Ian McDuff.
All right, greetings and welcome to this iCoder podcast. I'm Ian McDuff, your host for the series, and I'm speaking to you from Wellington in Aotearoa, New Zealand. In this conversation, I'm speaking with my colleague and fellow member of the global ODR community, Professor Alberto Elisavetsky. Great. Well, I can see you, Alberto, but the listeners won't be able to. Alberto is, I think, the most active, or certainly one of the most active and influential of our many active colleagues in the field. I think it's probably true to say that hardly a week goes by without another announcement coming from you, Alberto, about yet another initiative in the Latin American sphere. I don't know how you do it. You probably don't sleep. But if I can just take a few elements from Alberto's profile, I love the first line. Evangelizer and researcher in the use of new information and communication technologies for peace building in the digital age. Look, all we need to do is just talk about that line, and we've got half an hour. Evangelizer. I was just thinking when I was going through this, Alberto, too, that if anybody these days in these modern times deserves the name influencer, it's you. You genuinely are an influencer. If I look through what you're doing, he's a director of the Observatory of Conflict and Postgraduate Program in Cyber Mediation in the Universidad Nacional de Tres de Febrero, Argentina, founder and president of ODR Latino America. These links, incidentally, we'll put up on the website for the podcast. Fellow of the National Center for Technology and Dispute Resolution, which is our wonderful network of colleagues in the field. Member of the board of directors of iCoder, creator of the ODR Expo Tech Virtual Congress. Again, that link should go up. Creator of the Global Registry of Cyber Mediators. And I do want to come back and ask you about those people. So Alberto, that's probably about 10% of the things I can identify that you do. But can we go back a bit? How did you get into this field? What drew you into the field of ODR and digital technologies?
Okay. First of all, Jan, it's a pleasure have this opportunity to talk with you and the community that is following your podcast. It's a great idea, and it's a lot of job to do to put it on. But first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Fantastic alternative. This history is a little bit funny, and basically related with my wife, because my wife for several years here in Buenos Aires, Argentina, where we live, she is the director of one of the biggest mediation private centers in the area, belonging to the Economic Science Organization. And she's a mediator with a tremendous experience. And one day, perhaps 2004, 2005, at that time, I just was teaching negotiation at the university, in my university. And just surfing the net, appears the website of ODR.info. Where a lot of crazy people had been talking for us in the year 2004, 2005, about using technology for conflict resolution. And when I researched this idea, I walked from my desk to the kitchen because she was cooking. And I said, Alicia, do you know that some people, it's working in a research center saying that it's possible to mediate online? She stopped, looked at me and said, you and there are absolutely crazy. It's impossible to make a mediation online because of, you know, traditional issues, you know, face to face, which is your position, verbal, non-verbal, blah, blah, blah. What? But because she said, this is crazy, I start follow the fellows, which at that time there were a few fellows. And I'm participating one or two cyber weeks, just as a listener of a participant. And one day, I don't remember exactly why, they invite me to go to Israel, year 2009, to make a presentation regarding ODR in Latin America. Before that, in one cyber week, Alicia, she teaches system design for conflict resolution in a very important European university. And in the year 2007 or 8, she invited me for 30 minutes just to talk about online dispute resolution, because I was every day saying that this is possible, that it's fantastic. And 100% of the people who listened to me said, Alberto, it's crazy. We don't want to be in contact with those ideas. And it was a very interesting course in a master with probably 70 Brazilian judges and lawyers, plus Argentina judges and lawyers from Chile, from Uruguay. I'm start talking about Cyber Week and online dispute resolution. 30 minutes, I'm finished. Everything was okay, fine. 10 days later, my wife returned home after a conversation with the dean of the university. And he said, the comments about your class were fantastic, but the last sentences were, at the end of the class, there was a crazy guy came into the room, start talking about that it was possible mediate online. And he said, Alberto could be here, whatever she wants, talking about negotiation, mediation, but never again about online dispute resolution. That was year 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
Of course, this guy finally ended teaching about ODR, because, you know, finally, everybody realized that what we have been talking for a long period of time, it was a possibility. But going back to my first presentation in Israel, it was the first time that I met the fellows. And I remember my dear friend today, Dan Rainey, and that was in the Orna Rabinovich University in Haifa.
Yeah.
That was the ODR forum number 8.
Yep.
And Dan and Jeffrey Aresti, they were a kind of, you know, evaluator. They evaluate my presentation. But before that, I talked with Ethan and I said, what I'm going to present about ODR? We don't have any ODR in Latin America, not at all. And he said, well, tell your dreams. And well, I made a presentation telling my dreams about the idea to using the technology as a bridge for social inclusion, to facilitate access to justice, blah, blah, blah. And when we finished, together with Frank Foley, they offered to me be the host of 2010 ODR Forum in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And then from being my first presentation, next year, I was the host of the forum number 9. It was year 2010. It was a forum about tango and ODR. And at that time, we didn't broadcast online. It was only on site. Yep. We have approximately 400 participants. And that's, I don't want to extend my stories, but this was the way that I have been in contact at the beginning with ODR. And in 5 years, I end up with the first forum in Latin America. And this was the only forum with Spanish speaking as a principal language.
Fantastic.
All other forums, I think we are going for number 22, 23, all in English.
Yeah.
Only the forum in Buenos Aires was in Spanish, of course, with simultaneous translation to English to the fellows and other special guests invited that came from abroad to Buenos Aires. Mm. And the funny issue with that forum, that we have a general light cut in the area of the university. Uh-huh. Because we have been running the event in the University of the Federal Police, they have been able to talk with the one area of the institution. I brought an electrical generator in order to provide light to the conference. Mm-hmm.
That's another side of your influence, obviously. the right kind of connections. So really, it's 2004, you say, you first came across this idea, and you've really been running at full speed since then. But it just reminds me of your comment about all the people who said at the outset, it can't be done, mediation has to be online, absolutely impossible. It's almost exactly parallel, isn't it, to the people you and I will have met when we started doing mediation, who said, no, mediation can't be done. Mediation's all wrong. It has to happen in court. And then so many of those people who were the resistors are now active participants. They are key mediators. And so many people who couldn't see themselves mediating online, of course, as of 2 years ago, found themselves, they had to go online. But can I just pick up a couple of things that you've mentioned, which are fascinating and a little bit different from the comments that some of my previous guests have made? Because the emphasis that you've made, and I love it, is on social inclusion and peace building. Whereas our previous discussion, this is not to say if there's a right or wrong, previous conversations have been about access to justice and thinking of digital tools as ways of dealing with the conventional access to justice. Why your emphasis on social inclusion and peace building?
Well, basically, when I start approaching the way to evangelize or explain or teach or whatever, or to push about online dispute resolution, my first challenge was to be in contact with the feasibility that we have in Argentina or in Latin America. The court was in the moon, absolutely impossible to knock a door saying that it's a possibility to access to ODR. Of course, on top of that, I'm not a lawyer. It was a second barrier to a CPA coming to a court saying that it's possible to solve conflict online. It was absolutely impossible. But I was, from ODR Latin America, I was using web conference from year 2007 in order to talk about ODR.
Yep.
With a lot of technical difficulties. And in 2010, I was when I host the forum, immediately it was in this year, it was there is a World Congress of Mediation in Spanish running for a lot of years, and I was invited for the government of a province in the north of Argentina to talk about ODR Latin America as a successful new project in mediation. Mm-hmm. And I made a presentation in this Congress in Salta in the north. And after that, I was invited for the Minister of Justice of Salta province in order to cooperate with them in a pilot project about community mediation using new technologies. At that time, they have approximately 50 mediation centers across the province, but with enormous difficulties in communication, not only technology, but there are no highways, just very bad ways to get, very bad path to get from one city to the other, with a lot of people as blue collars or poverty. And that's why the province government was putting community centers in order to provide mediation free for the citizens. And we end up with a special decree, 118 of year 2012, for a pilot project of co-mediation online. No mediation online, co-mediation mm-hmm. online. And at that time, it was one mediator sitting in one community center with the technology. He or she were the one who handled the computer, with the party sitting together, and in, I don't know, 100 miles,
yeah.
another community center with another co-mediator with the party number two sitting together. And the way that was done the mediation at that time was in this way, with the co-mediation online, because also we use the co-mediator, because they belong to the government, as the ones who certify the identity of the parties.
Sure.
And they keep one copy of the agreement, in the case of it was a settled the mediation, signed by the party one on spot, and the co-mediator put it in the mail and send it to the other mediation center. And the other co-mediator send the other copy with the signature. That's the story, the way that we started in year 2012. It was, and talking about social inclusion, it's our idea to facilitate access to justice to people who usually don't have access, easy access to justice.
Sure.
And if you are working in a farm, because this is a province with a lot of jobs of in agricultural issues, if you are working in a farm, and you have to go to the main capital to have a mediation, a family mediation. Mm-hmm. And you have to ask your the patron or the owner or whatever to give the day, you lose your salary, you have to catch a bus, mm-hmm. be 4 hours in a bus, have the mediation, came back, lose one working day, two working days. The online mediation, it was a fantastic possibility. Is the government helps or facilitate a way to be in favor of the people who lacks access to technology or with less income, at least in year 2012.
Right.
Today, the access to technology is better, but that was the beginning. And from at that year, 2012, we created platform, I created platform, under the name of CIMEDIAR, which was the meaning distance mediation simulation. Why? Because the Salta government, the ministry at that time, a lady, Maria Inés Díez, with a political decision to promote the online dispute resolution, because you will succeed if you have a political decision. And she said, well, I'm happy to provide you real life cases, but you have mediators with the capability to mediate online with this history about face-to-face, online, et cetera, communication skill, how to handle emotion in virtual environments. Is someone crazy through a webcam, what you have to do, et cetera, and with this program, we set up a scholarship issue with two students from different universities. We have 28 students, and we create this platform with an empirical test. What's going to happen if you have to handle together the technology and you have to be handling the emotion of what's going on, how to you allow someone to speak, what you are doing with the speakerphone, what we are doing with the image, what going to happen if you have a cut in internet, etc., etc., etc. And with this preparation, we run our first product, we create the first product, and this product with this cyber mediator and with this experience, I call it cyber mediator.
Sure.
With this experience, we train 140 community mediators for the government of Salta. But at that time, I have to fly to Salta to teach on site because they don't understand that you have to teach online if you are going to mediate online. Of course, I'm talking only about synchronic mediation, okay? Yep. Online mediation. At that time, nobody talks about text mediation, nobody talks about any other feasibility that the mediation. And was very, very, it was a very, very successful program, very successful program. We used a technology from India at that time. The name of the web conference platform was DIM-DIM.
Oh, yes. I recall that. Yep.
Okay. Mm. And this DIM-DIM, after a period of time, was bought by Salesforce and disappeared from the market.
Yep.
But we start all this process with this Indian platform who behaves very, very well running in an environment where the technology was more or less, the internet connection was more or less, we survived. And from year 2012, after a lot of experience in Latin America countries, in Spain, in Mexico, in Brazil, blah, 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 we end up in year 2017 with our first online mediation program, only one mediator online, with the government of the Buenos Aires city. And the interest experience about this program that we launched in June 2017, very, very before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 15 centers in the city. And we start with this idea, but we decided to offer to the citizen different feasibilities. First, of course, face-to-face mediation as usual. Second, one party without access to technology sitting together with the mediator and the other party alone.
Mm-hmm.
Those generate a huge resistance, but we apply this model, of course, with the agreement of the parties. If we have owners of properties living in Europe and the other party living in Buenos Aires, in general, in blue collar or vulnerable neighborhoods, they go to the mediation office where it was the mediator, and the owner was sitting in Paris or in Madrid or whatever. Mm-hmm. And those were the most successful mediation at the beginning because the owner of the property didn't want to pay an air ticket to came to Buenos Aires to solve an issue, which was a minor issue. And those issues never were resolved. And with the online mediation, we helped a lot of people in the Buenos Aires city solve these issues. And of course, we offer the feasibility to be everybody online if you have the technology, party one, party two, and mediator. And the fourth possibility is if the parties has a situation where they can sit together, but they don't have access to technology, they can go to a city hall office, sitting together with the tech operator, and the one who is online is the mediator.
Okay, well answers what you're saying answers one of the questions that I was going to ask, which is how you manage when one party or the other actually doesn't have their own access to technology. But clearly, those people are able to go to a city centre, to a city hall, to a library, somewhere where there is technology.
No. That's specifically to one of the city hall offices or branches.
Right.
In the city, Buenos Aires is a city with 3 million inhabitants, plus 8 million who walk in and out every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have a potential of 12 million people. And they went to one of the 15 offices when a day and time where you have your mediation and it's running.
So
give you some figures.
Please.
At that time, 2017, total amount of community mediations face-to-face were 30,000 per year.
Mm-hmm.
The first year, we reached 10,000 online out of the 30,000.
Wow.
What happened with the pandemic? For the government of Buenos Aires City, of a public policy which is free for the citizens, this is absolute, and only no lawyers, okay, mm-hmm. mediator and parties, full stop. They switch in 24 hours from face to face to 100% online with the pandemic, with the corona. Why? Because they had the, as a political approach to their voters, they said, okay, let's facilitate at least the mediation to the citizens.
Yeah.
And that was a great impact because they already had the mediator trained, they have the technology. Of course, which part of this we couldn't do it? There were not the possibility to the party walks to the community center because they were closed. We start using, but at this time, everybody was used to use the cell phone, mm-hmm. data. And that, I'm sorry that I interrupt you, but I want to finish the idea.
Well, in fact, your interruption, it wasn't, but you actually answered the question I was going to ask, which was about the numbers of cases. And then, of course, what happens during the pandemic. What also became clear from your earlier comments was that what made the developments in Argentina possible was very strong support from officials. You got state support when we up in the north. Was there at any point, you indicate only a little bit of support?
What I'm saying is just some persons,
okay,
just some dreamers, just some evangelizers has the, I'm sorry for the word, the guts,
yep,
to jump into the river and the waters, you know, split it open.
Yeah.
With the, in Spanish, we said the salto de fe. Because nobody wants to walk out of the comfort zone. And if you decided to walk out of the comfort zone, at the time, they have the resistance of the mediator traditional community throwing stones to say that it's crazy.
Yeah,
I have a lot of resistance, tremendous resistance.
So is that resistance coming from the legal profession or from where?
Well, from the legal profession, 95% of the resistance, okay?
Sure.
Because in Latin America, we have the following situation. If you are a fighter, if you are a lawyer, you are in the top. If you are a mediator, you are a second-class lawyer. That was at the beginning. Okay.
Yep.
Then mediation is for losers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And litigation is for winners.
Mm-hmm.
This was changing. But it took a lot of time. Mm. And also because, as I said before, the traditional lawyers, the biggest studios, they don't want to walk out of the comfort zone. Of course, they also, in Argentina, it's a little bit difficult what I'm going to try to explain, but Give me 2 seconds. Have a figure. We have mediation for 25 years.
Yep.
More or less. And we have compulsory mediation before to go to trial. It's compulsory, the mediation.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go to mediation, you don't get the stamp to go to the trial. It's like if you want to open the door of a suit, first you have to go through mediation, which is compulsory. It's not compulsory, agree or not, which is compulsory is go through the mediation process.
Sure.
This is for another book, okay? The story about this is for another. But this is a national law which is only applied, let me say, in Washington. Because the national area is only the main capital. We have other 23 jurisdictions in our country, which some of them has mediation law, some no. With different figures. In someone we have co-mediation, could be a lawyer and any profession. In others is only lawyer, and in others there are no mediation law. But each one applies its own law or applies its own no law.
Right, that's a little crazy. Yeah.
In fact, all of them, the mediation is compulsory before to go to, not the community mediation, okay? Only what is so-called, judiciary mediation.
Sure. Yep.
Which, being compulsory, it was the idea that the way to put the mediation on spot was tell the citizen, before go to a trial, you have to walk through the mediation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But for me, I don't know if in English the word is oxymoron. Oxymoron.
Oh, yes. Oxymoron, yep.
Which is compulsory mediation is an oxymoron for me. Because the mediation should be a voluntary process.
Yep.
No compulsory, but well, that's what we have. And all of a sudden with the pandemic, of course, all the Latin America was very successful before 2017. We start providing teaching in ODR in different regions. We get more people interested in being evangelizer in its areas. And everybody start knocking our door in order to be trained with the corona in 2010. Mm-hmm. It's like we have been with the spoon and it was raining soup.
That's why? The image. Yeah.
Because it was basically a money issue. Oh, you go to mediate online, and because in Argentina we have a lockdown of probably 9 months.
Mm.
No activity. Well, you have a long period of lockdown.
We sure did. Yeah.
Okay, and I was talking about what I call the narrow door. All of a sudden, March 2020, everybody was trying to go through the narrow door. Why? Because they at least must know how to handle a poor Zoom room.
Yep.
To try to, or to use WhatsApp in a total disorder without any idea that the courts start launching urgent special protocol for pandemia, but each province was announcing or publishing or allowing the online mediation. And we face some crazy issues. For example, one of the provinces, I don't want to say the name, allows the mediation online, but the parties should wait until they have been able to walk through the court to sign physically the agreement. Unbelievable.
It's a little strange. You've done a huge amount in Argentina. And from what we've seen of your regular emails to the ODR fellows, you're also working right across Latin America. I think most recently is doing some work in Colombia. What's the situation like if we take you outside Argentina? How's the situation and development in other Latin America?
We launched ODR Colombia, because this is other issue. In our first training abroad was in Mexico 2014, mm-hmm. when we start training in ODR. We train in and the last shot we train, well, of course, in Argentina, Costa Rica, Mexico, Peru, Brazil, and Spain. Mm-hmm. We have our training courses running about through all Latin America, and at the beginning was the same, very, very tough. In Mexico, in Guanajuato was my first training. I was in front of 120 mediators belonging to the government, the judiciary power, without any, smile regarding asking them why they have been to be sitting there, listen about this. And I always recall an exercise that I test with them, because they were very experienced in face-to-face mediation. And I had a role-playing exercise, and I asked them to sit down, without watching them. Three mm-hmm. of them sitting with their backs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And try to do the role-playing. And when you talk about face-to-face, you have to watch. Mm. But they start analyzing the visibility, because they said that with the voice, with the tones, with the level of the voice, they have been able to more or less run the exercise, the role play, and they assume that this is possible to mediate online, because you have the possibility of the webcam, no?
Yep.
No, Brazil, what I have I don't know how we are in time. If we have to,
we'll wrap up in a few minutes. But I have one more question at least.
I'm always bring stories with my wife. She was the right. the first my first opponent in ODR. I was invited in 2014 in Brazil, one conference, Global Mediation Rio. To talk about ODR. I was in front of 600 people sitting in the conference room. I was talking about ODR. This was the first time that in Brazil, in the court, somebody talked about ODR, and 590 participants were moving their faces saying, no, 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 no. At the end, Alicia, was one of my moderators, said, but listen to me. If it is possible to fall in love online, why we cannot think about solve a conflict online? And then the audience mm-hmm. realized, probably some of them get their fiancé online.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Start realizing that this was a feasibility. That was, mm-hmm. and in my book, at the beginning of my book, is these sentences. October 2014, Rio Global Mediation, Alicia Millán said, if you blah, 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 blah. one of my students in year 2014 was the member of the Supreme Court of Brazil in charge of push the mediation. Mm-hmm. And we obtained that in 2015, in the last article of the mediation law, they allow mediate through internet is the party from abroad accept the Brazilian mediation law. That was the first instance in Latin America where internet or ODR was included in a mediation law.
Quite progress, isn't it? Alberto, can I ask you, I think considering the time, just one more question. We could carry on this conversation for the rest of the day.
It's a long story to make it short.
No, this is... absolutely perfect, because it gives us a real insight into how you have progressed things in Latin America. But just one more thing, it comes up in your profile, and I'd like to ask you, you mentioned the Global Registry of Cyber Mediators. And I've had a look at the website, and we'll put the link up on the website for this podcast. But what is this Global Registry? Who are they? Okay. How do they work?
The idea, first of all, I want to tell you that ODR Latin America, it's a non-profit private organization without any official support. We make our money, or we produce our money, out of our training services.
Sure.
But most of the time in Latin America, the only people who was making money of the mediation were the trainers. Yep. No mediation, a lot of training, but there are no mediation. Then you have a bunch of people through the region paying courses, plus courses, plus courses, without getting a single penny. Mm. And as Tom Cruise says in Jerry Maguire, show me the money with Cuba Gooding Jr. Where's the money? Mm-hmm. And we decided to have a compromise in order to try to develop a field for the mediators. And our first idea is, if you are training ODR, we allow you for free to be part of this global mediation registry. You have to have at least first 20 hours of training in ODR.
Yep.
We can specify your specialty, your expertise, if you are a family mediator or consumer or labor or intercultural, and we give you the a frame to show you to the world that you are here sitting in Argentina, in Peru, in Chile, with the skills, waiting for other co-mediator in other place of the world, trying to solve a problem from, I don't know, Russia to Chile, or Spain to Mexico. I say, try to put them on spot, because usually in the conference, the people who is up there in the conference are the people belonging to the government, the one who write books, and blah, 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 the one who are usually making money because they work in an institution or sell books or whatever. And all the audience are the ones who are trying to find a way in conflict resolution. And we have to invert the situation. These people, as I call it, the walking mediators, should be on spot, and we have to learn from their problems. That was the idea behind the Global Registry, to give them the possibility to somebody see, okay, I have a problem in Mexico. Here I have those mediators with those profiles. This is the contact. This is totally free. We don't charge any penny for running this website. I talk about the funds that we receive or not, is because it's tough for us with our resources keep a website which is growing and growing and growing in people who now everybody says, I'm an ODR mediator.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Alberto, I mean, that's a note to finish on. We should wind down now. And I love this. I mean, I was really looking forward to this conversation, and it's proved to be every bit as good as I had hoped. But we will need to wind down and let you go to enjoy the rest of your day, your evening, and I will head off too. So thank you so much for your time. It's been super to catch up with you again. Last time we caught up in Paris in 2017, didn't we?
Yeah, when we were funding of ICOVR.
Yeah.
And happy, I'm very happy to be with you now in the board.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to my first board meeting, so I look forward to that conversation. Yeah. Even though, because of the time difference, it will be midnight my time when I'm at the meeting. But okay. That's just one of the things of consequences of our working online. We work across time zones. But Alberto, thank you so much for your time. It's been Great to talk to you, and thank you and goodbye. I'll turn off the recording.
Thank you very much, and thank for basically you, Jan. It was a very nice experience.
This podcast has been brought to you by ICODER, the International Council for Online Dispute Resolution. To learn more about ICODER or to become a supporting member, please visit our website at icodr.org.